This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, October the 17th, 2008. The Dow Jones Industrial Average swung wildly during the week, but seems to have settled down by the weekend. Yet, housing starts are way off, and construction permits are down. So which is it to be, recovery or recession? And how should an owner of grain and oil seeds protect their investments? We'll ask these and many more questions today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading. Our panelists in studio today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's open the discussion with this question. It appears the marketplace may be headed towards normalcy, maybe, and corn futures finished above $4. Well, that's still lower from the week before. Do you think the tide down has been stemmed in the corn market? Jackie Vakes.
Oh, my. Well, I'd have to say if history taught us anything in the last few weeks, we've seen a few times like this before, you would be hopeful. We saw the market divorce itself from some of the financials in the crude oil yesterday afternoon. Today we saw much higher trade than what we expected with a better close. And so I would have to say we are cautiously hopeful.
Well, Jackie Vakes is cautiously hopeful. How about you, Pete Manhart?
I would like to agree with her, but I think I can't with all the outside mess that's out there that is there. And we follow this, we follow that. All this outside stuff has just pushed us one way or the other. And I think as long as that's still a mess, we're still going to have problems here with the grains.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Cautiously optimistic would be a word we'd like to use here, Todd. I think that we did see a little better trade on Friday because the crude oil did not suffer. The heating oil and the other products like that held in their good through the markets. And because of that, we didn't see the funds that have to be balanced as such be forced into liquidation until we saw some corn liquidation on the end. Now, it was light volume, and some of the fund buying was there, exaggerated some of the increases on Friday because of the light volume. But we are seeing the commercial step forward and buy some of the futures, and we're seeing the basis levels tighten up a little bit. And also, we're seeing the spreads narrow in because they would like to buy some more cash during harvest.
In Chicago this week, corn futures traded to a high of $4.28 a bushel, the low at $3.71. The settlement price there at $4.03 was 5.25 lower from last week. December contract of 09 at $4.58 finished 2 cents higher. So how about a working range for corn between now and January the 1st? Do you have one?
I would think we got close to it this week, but I think you're looking at maybe 350 at the bottom end and 475 at the top end. I'm optimistic that we will grind upward, but the crude oil thing, if it can hold up due to the meetings next week, I think that's a good sign for corn.
Jackie, you said you were cautiously expecting something better. Did part of that come with the export inspections this week?
Oh, no question about that. I think that when you looked at the export inspections, it certainly flies in the face of all the people that said we don't have any demand. And I think what it reaffirms is that we are seeing some of our Asian people come in and look at this and say these are values, you know, and this is a time that we need to start to cover. You look at the Baltic freight rates, they're really down. So, you know, there's opportunity here. It's just a matter of whether or not the markets that are actually trading are going to even bother to look at it. You know, we've seen the grain markets be ignored in spite of everything else.
Well, is that a good or a bad thing at this time of year? And I ask this only because we've got October to set crop insurance for soybeans across the board in their policies, and we have October and November to set crop insurance payments for corn.
Well, actually not, and I would think in most cases nobody's too excited about seeing prices going up dramatically.
All right. Well,
that would be the case, Todd. And I say that you were talking about the crop insurance being set here. If you have an RA policy here, of course, the beans, the lower they can go, the better, because there's no limit on what they can go. And there are going to be some tremendously good RA bean payments to a lot of people if they only had an average yield this year. Of course, the RA payments are set for corn during the month of November. So that would be different along the way. But the GRIP policies, which Mr. Schnitzky advised very highly, that is set during the month of October. So we would like to see the October prices stay down if you're sitting there with a GRIP policy.
Okay, so we've got these crop insurance policies out there. Have each of you thought about how to protect that investment? And I guess we can see that as an investment. You've got an investment up front. Right now you're looking at potentially some gains. I think Gary Schnitke was on Friday on Closing Mark Report. I don't think I put him there, so I know he was there, but was talking about some gains that were going to be collected out of the GRIP policies and the RAs, something in between, let's go from, depending on what kind of policy you had, $40 to $200. But are you willing to protect that kind of money at this point?
Well, I've been holding off, actually. I've been looking more and talking more to clients about going in and buying some calls, to start to do that, basically buying just in December for the moment. And I think that's a prudent way to do it.
We've been looking at, because of the upside potential of the stuff, that will cut your insurance payment down, of buying December calls, also possibly even going out to the March ones, but at least buying December calls.
Well, Todd, I think as we look at this, we are looking at the idea, and have done for three or four or a number of our customers along the way, as to put a top in this. We might have a call above the market or just plain futures as we got down this week. And that will stop, because we will, if we go on down, you're going to get an increased insurance payment. As long as it's on the RA policy, you can put a stop above the market for your CRC policies, because we're way past the CRC rate and what it will expand to. Remember, beans can only go down $3 on the CRC, so we can go up a little bit before we have to do that. So if you have a CRC bean policy, you can put a stop above the market another 50 cents here.
Have each of you been talking to producers that are in the field, and do you feel like USDA's got their numbers right for yield on soybeans and corn?
Well, Todd, I think that's a big question yet to be answered, but it does look like they've done a better job than we thought they had to begin with. We're hearing a great variance. The more that people get into corn, we're hearing 20 bushels more in some areas, and we're also hearing 35 to 40 bushels less in other areas. So I think that the corn yield is there. We're seeing the beans, a lot of variance. I mean, we're talking anywhere from 30 to 70 bushels. So, and I think when you average everything out with all the ponds that we had and all the drowning out in areas we had, they're probably pretty close in the beans also.
I would have to agree that they did a better job than we thought. We thought they were too high. As we go forward in harvest, and we're still really behind in a lot of areas, Illinois was one of the main ones, we have seen yields that have surprised people of being as good as they were, especially on late planted beans. Corn's been all over the place in our area. We've got 160 to 240, but how much of it's at the low end and how much at the top end, you really don't know. But I think we've got, in general, better yields than expected. You've got areas that are 10 to 20 bushel less on corn, but you've got them that are 10 to 20 bushel better.
Soybeans this week, November, had a high of $9.38¾, a low at $8.25, a settlement price down 16 cents at $8.94. November beans, $9.37, down 5 cents. We're more than halfway done in the beans for harvest, according to the United States Department of Agriculture last week. Should be much farther along by the time we get to Monday afternoon of next week. That usually signals time for the bean market to move higher. Will it this year?
Will it this year? Boy, these are extraordinary. I think that to say that these are extraordinary times, I believe it certainly has that opportunity. I think it'll take probably a week or more of some pretty solid closes before you're going to really find people coming back in and getting very aggressive. But when you looked at the export sales today on beans, I mean, they were almost as much as what corn was. Very, very unusual and extremely aggressive. So if we see China coming in and buying a lot more over this next week, I would think, yes, we probably will start to go that direction.
Given the choice, which one are you going to store, corn or beans? If you have to.
If you
sell
have
one
to.
Of them. If you have to sell one of them.
If you have to sell one of them, I would probably store the beans for right now, because when you look at beans and potential for a rally back up on beans, even if beans only make a minor rally, it's still usually at 2-1 on corn.
I think I would go the other way and buy bean calls, sell the beans. I would store corn just because of the lack of possible corn acres next year because of the price that we're at and the input costs.
Todd, that's a tough one because I agree with both of them and what they're talking about. I think there's a good chance that beans could jump a dollar easier than corn could jump 50 cents. But I also know that buying acres for next year at the cost we're at, if they haven't already locked in their fertilizer, it just doesn't pencil out to plant corn. We've got to see a rally to get where we need to for the ethanol mandate.
You know, we haven't talked about buying acres here or really in South America yet, and they're beginning their planting season. Beans, of course, are off dramatically at this point, as is everything. Will the recession have much of an impact on the number of acres that South America decides to put in the ground, or will they, much like producers here, go ahead and plant one way or the other?
Todd, that's not what they're telling us down there. They're telling us they're going to plant less acres of corn down in South America. Financing hasn't been good in some areas. We're having some other problems in other areas along the way. So we look for a decrease in planted acres in South America because of financing.
And is that for corn or beans or both?
Yeah, both.
For both, right? Everybody's hearing the same thing.
I think the financial thing is, you know, finances are tighter. Who's going to loan you the money and at what rates? And will they loan you money because of unknowns of where the price is going to be? And why would I loan you all that money if the price on corn's not going to go up or the price on beans is not going to recover?
Right. And I was just going to say, I think that even though we've seen an increase in the value of the American dollar and a decrease in the hay, the Brazilian hay, we still are very competitive. And that's got to change before they're going to get real excited about planting, too.
Well, that raises some interesting questions. Just the thought that they would leave acres idle. It's not something that generally happens here in the United States unless things would be really bad. And it seems to me that even in the Depression area, I think we planted more corn acres then than we do today, something in the neighborhood of 100 million corn acres. Of course, we didn't have to divide it up between soybeans and corn at the time. So mm-hmm. it's a tougher call, but we planted the most corn acres then. Can you see... What kind of questions does it raise in your mind? The question is there a reason that farmers here would just not plant acres next year?
Yes, I've had farmers already tell me they're going to plant no acres or half as many acres just because of input costs.
You mean of corn?
Of corn.
Okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Of corn.
No, yeah, but
but not
in
just
soybean.
Of less acres, no, not at all.
Right. So, well, then that brings in other discussions because it's cheaper to put the beans in the ground. Could we have a whole lot of bean acres that go in the ground next spring, and will we see that show up at what point? I mean, can we judge that off of the number of bushels that are sold in terms of what they're purchasing from their seed dealers? How are we going to know?
Well, Todd, I think Jesus said about the seed dealers, they're booking their seed corn. They're going ahead and locking that in because they want those numbers in case I plant corn. The seed dealers are telling you they're making sales out there. That doesn't mean, and we, if you've been a seed dealer, you know that sales don't translate into final sales until planting's over and you see how many bags you pick up at the end of the year. I think that we're seeing a lot of people that are going ahead with their regular plans and booking, and they're going to be more concerned, and they're going to be slow about booking seed beans because with the great increase that Monsanto has sort of dictated into things like this, they're going to wait and see if they don't come with a few deals along the way, like some extra discounts. We don't look for seed companies to cut the prices they've set, but we do look for some different sort of deals like buy three, get one free, or if you be loyal to us and buy 100% of your corn, we'll maybe give you 10%.
You know, this is the second week in a row on Commodity Week, and we only have about a minute left, that there have been some very bleak or bearish talk. Is it really that bad, do you think, at this point?
I don't think from the commodity side of it it's that bad, but I do think that we've suffered because of the financial side of things. And when you look at perception drives the market.
I think that we're going to survive. I think the problem is, what am I going to make next year? Am I going to need to save everything from this year to get through next year because of the added expense of whatever I have to do, both from the borrowing end and from the expense of putting it in the ground?
It's going to be our most challenging in the last 5 years, Todd. The economy is rough.
All right. Thanks much. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Just a quick reminder, if you get the opportunity right now, would be a good time to dial this number, 217-244-9455, and pledge your financial support to WILL. That's the home of this program, Commodity Week. We depend on you for about one out of every $3. Pledge your support now at 217-244-9455. Again, the number to call is 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support for Commodity Week and agricultural programming on WILL AM 580, here 6 days a week with ag programming just for you. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's happening in the world of agricultural markets. Airs twice on Saturdays. If you haven't heard it, it's 6 a.m. in the morning. Make sure you tune in at that time or at the regular hour at 11:30. Historically, that's where Commodity Week has aired on WILL, and we always ask for your pledge of financial support for the agricultural programming here. It's very easy to do. Just dial in at 217-244-9455. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Or if you prefer, you can go online to willag.org. That's willag.org. And hit the light bulb up on the right-hand side of the page. Make sure you put agriculture and which radio station you listen to in the comments segment right there when you make your pledge online at willag.org. Just make sure you hit the light bulb and you'll find a pledge form. It's quick, it's simple, and it's easy to do. I'd like you to pledge at the $120 level and above. $240 would be great. How about $500? Whatever you can offer would be magnificent. Right here at this radio station, a goal of $200,000 for this fall fund drive. We're looking for 300 new friends. If you haven't ever given before, now is the time at 217-244-9455.
Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, October the 17th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason, our panelist in studio today. Our Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois. And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Our guest is Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Thanks for being with us today, Jim.
Glad to be here.
Well, in the first half of the program, we heard not the best of outlooks for, I think, the economy in general and then the agricultural market following suit. You take a worldwide look at this, generally speaking. Across the globe, what do you see?
I think the U.S. is basically about 6 months ahead of everybody else, particularly when you look at us in comparison to what's happening now in Europe, particularly Eastern Europe, Russia, and now we're starting to get some sense of problems developing in the Middle East. But I think on a positive note, I think the U.S. has laid out their mistakes, they've laid out their problem areas, and I really think they're trying to address them one by one, and hopefully we've got some of the negative out of the way, and we're going to be on a path to improvement here.
Hi, Jim. When I look at when I listen to all of the news, it seems as if they think that the whole world population is going to stop growing immediately and there's just going to be zero demand for the commodity itself. Can you give me any perspective on that?
I think today was a good example that maybe we can bring some light on this situation. I thought the export numbers this morning were really good. particularly in soybeans at 37.8 million bushels, corn at 38.4 million. Those were both well above trade estimates. We continue to see the Chinese come in and buy a significant amount of soybeans. Up the first 9 months of the year, they've bought about 27 million tons of soybeans. And a Panamax vessel in Brazil can hold about 50,000 tons. So just out of Brazil alone, they've brought out about 540 shiploads. So that part of the world, we're still seeing demand surface. This morning we heard news that the first ever PRC buying of domestic soybeans for a state reserve. I thought that was a positive. I thought the situation on the wheat with the Australian wheat crop now being possibly reduced down below 20 million metric tons, and the fact that we've got a lag in corn harvest all pointed out to some positive news this morning before the market opening, and the market did close positive tonight in relationship to the positive news. And to be honest with you, I thought today's market acted as good as any market we've seen since the final event in the Olympics.
So would you, with all of this good news that we're talking about, think that we've seen the lows, or do you think we still need to muddle around for the next month?
My concern still is, I'm a global trader. I try to look at everything from a global stance, global S&D. I'm still somewhat concerned about the global S&D table in wheat. The wheat is not tracking the 30-year seasonal, but I do think the soybeans in particular are really monitoring that 30-year seasonal very, very close. And based on that, we normally tend to see a low around the end of the month of October, and they also tend to see a low in the corn market, a minor low around October 30th, with a more of a significant low around December 19th, because we do have a significant amount of corn yet to come out of the fields. But Bauer Trading was a major seller of cash grains, the most we've ever sold in the month of June and July of this year. That was a very good opportunity for us to get a lot of cash move, which we did. And now, actually, we're looking to buy actually some of that position back on the board or through the options market, because we feel the worst is behind us now. And actually going out into 09, we can kind of formulate a little bit better positive S&D table.
Yeah, if Europe is behind us in the trouble with the economy, with everything like that, are we in trouble with our exports 6 months down the road? Will they be hitting the rough patch then? And as you were talking about rebuying stuff, which month or how are you doing? Are you using options or are you using futures?
Our clientele is quite diverse, and we follow the international market too. Our bias right now is basically to look at possibly buying some March or May beans based upon that 30-year seasonal that we talked about before. We are watching the crude oil market as kind of a barometer of when we think we should go in. As we all know, the corn and soybean market have been tracking that crude oil market very carefully, and we're not totally convinced that this market is really divorced itself yet from that crude oil market. So we're taking kind of the Warren Buffett approach, kind of shuffling along here, not being terribly aggressive, but again, with a lot of those sales made substantially higher back in June and July, some of these producers now are looking to get back in, because as your earlier participant mentioned, the world demand for protein and high quality foods is just not going to disappear overnight. And I think this item that I mentioned earlier about the Chinese buying domestic beans for state reserves, I've been in this business almost 40 years, and I've never seen them do that. So that tells me the Chinese particular, which is a huge demand base, is strongly watching this market very, very close, because they do not want to get caught shorthanded with protein going into next year. So that, to me, is probably the most bullish thing that I see on the horizons. But I do think we've got to be a little bit careful here with this European and Russian situation I alluded to earlier. And again, there's a lot of analysts just not thinking that we've seen the bottom in this crude oil or energy market quite yet.
Well, can I ask you, what do you think about the crude oil market? How close to a bottom are we if we're not there yet?
I think we're going to have to get some judgment and some decision out of OPEC. Personally, I think we're going lower on the crude oil market over the next several months, particularly if this European situation starts to erode. Again, I think there's some squabbling and some bickering going on now in OPEC, and the function of the market is to discipline government. And my way of thinking right now is that oil market was horribly overvalued, horribly overleveraged, and there's a certain element of corruption. And if I'm right about that basic thought process that the function of the market is to discipline government, the oil market swung too far, too high, too quick, and the pendulum always swings back in an equal and opposite manner until you finally get back to the balance point. So that would tell me that we still have some lower prices, maybe not substantially lower, but it tells me that we've still got a little bit of room to the downside, maybe towards that $60 per mark barrel on oil.
Jim, when we look at the American dollar and the increases that we've seen in it, do you have any type of a target where you feel it's going to severely impact exports?
Well, those of you that have listened to me on the media over the past 6 months, I've been saying all along that the value of the euro was far, far too high and the value of the dollar was far too low. When you have the dollar down around the 70 mark, you're talking about basically third world status. I think that the euro is something similar to what I've been saying about the oil. It swung far, far too high, far over its value. And I think the Europeans have made a significant error in not dropping their interest rates soon enough and quick enough. The market is begging for them to drop down their interest rates. And, of course, they threw the kitchen sink in Germany and France particularly at this particular bailout program. And if it doesn't work, there could be significant problems. I think the euro is headed lower, and I think the dollar is going to continue to ratchet up at least a little bit more, even though it has had a pretty good correction. And that would tend to at least dampen exports. But keep in mind, the exports are still running very, very good, and the dollar in the low 80s is still not horribly priced. I think people have forgotten that it hasn't been all that long ago when the dollar was up around 122.
Hey, Jim, tell me what you think equilibrium price would be for oil if 60 is your bottom and then we have a top there already. And how does that convert for where you think the euro, the dollar, corn, soybeans, and wheat ought to be trading at equilibrium? What's a good value for all of them?
Well, if I'm somewhat correct about $60 being the low point for the oil market, then that would equate over to cash corn somewhere around the 310, 325 area, in my opinion, and somewhere on soybeans, maybe around that 780, 760 mark. Of course, it does bother me that the market is tracking so closely to that crude oil market because I think it does tend to distort it. But in unison with that statement, I've been saying all along to these producers and end users of fertilizer, chemical, pesticide, herbicide, fungicide, diesel fuel, gasoline, I think some of these suppliers have gone out and paid too high a price for those items, and they're trying to pass that cost on to the producers and end users. I think they've made a mistake there, and I think producers should be more patient. In fact, I had a call from North Dakota today where the price of fertilizer had dropped down almost $200 a ton. So there are places now that are cracks are starting to develop, and I would be patient before I run out and buy a lot of input costs for next year. I think the suppliers have got to come down on prices, even though they themselves have paid too high a price. Just because they paid too high a price doesn't mean that end user doesn't have to.
Jim, we've run out of time. Thanks much for being with us today.
Okay, thank you.
Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Final, very quick word from our panelist in studio, Jackie Bakes.
My suggestion would be that if you have to sell grain, if you can't hold any grain, re-own it on the board at some point in time.
Be careful out there finishing up or getting started wherever you're at, and be ready to replace that grain that you've sold.
If we can stabilize the stock market and the crude oil, looks like it's going to be time to buy a few replacement futures.
Our thanks to our panelists in studio, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group right here in Champaign County. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.